You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
It's been nearly 2 weeks since a 7.0 earthquake in Haiti destroyed much of the infrastructure there, and they're finally calling rescue efforts off. Now, the focus of relief aid will switch from treating the wounded to a rebuilding of the crumbled capital there. Where do they begin, and can it be better than ever, as some people say that it may be? We're joined now again by Ed Pilkington. He's the New York correspondent for The Guardian, just returned from a week in Haiti. And also Lawrence Vail joins us, a professor of urban design and planning at MIT. He's co-editor of the book, The Resilient City, How Modern Cities Recover from Disaster. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
So, Ed, you were talking about this exodus of hundreds of thousands of people, possibly from Port-au-Prince into the countryside. They're going in search of water, food, shelter. Does the countryside, do the rural areas have that?
Yes. I mean, most Haitians who are living in Port-au-Prince have family back in the countryside. So, and there they'll find houses, they'll find maybe a small plot of land where they're growing their own food. They're self-sufficient. So maybe food will be a little bit scarce, but it's going to be much more plentiful than in the city. That's the sort of good news. It's sort of logical that they're returning to the countryside now. The bad news is that the people I spoke to crowded around bus stops, piling onto these free government buses to go back to the country, are saying to us that within a month, 2 months at most, they're going to come back again. And there's a simple reason for that. There's no work in the countryside for them. There's nothing for them to do. They all came to the town in the first place over the last 20, 30 years in search of work. And that's what they're going to do again. So you've got a very small window, maybe 1-2 months, in which there's going to be a space within the city for repair workers in which to operate. But within a couple of months, they'll all be back again, and the city will be crowded again, and all the problems of overcrowding and piling in and trying to build shoddy, poorly built houses will start up again.
The tent cities that we saw on hillsides and things. So Lawrence Vail, having heard what Ed Pilkington just said, can you kind of put that in perspective for us in terms of disasters? He said we have about 1 to 2 months. Is that enough time to get started on an effective rebuilding strategy?
Well, it's certainly enough time for individuals to get started on what they want to do in a desperate situation for themselves. In some ways, it's a false dichotomy to say there's a rescue period and then a rebuilding period, because the restoration that begins is part of what happens in between. And some of that will be very shoddy and very makeshift, and some of it will be just to get things moving again a bit.
But you've heard people saying, not just Haitian officials, but aid organizations as well, saying this is an opportunity to rebuild Port-au-Prince and rebuild Haiti better than ever. What kind of historical support does that have? Have we seen other cities recover from disasters like this better than before?
Well, first of all, the claim of disaster as opportunity is a kind of classic historic one. You heard it in San Francisco after 1906. We heard it after 9/11. We heard it after Katrina. There's a political necessity to say this. Most recently, the Haitian ambassador to the U.S. Has been repeatedly talking about silver linings, and one can hope that that's the case. There have been dramatic recoveries. Famously, in the U.S., both the Chicago fire in 1871 and the San Francisco earthquake and fires of 1906. Led to tremendous growth and development of those places. They're more relevant, perhaps, to Haiti. There's been some progress in Banda Aceh in Indonesia, a place where 170,000 people are estimated to have died after the Asian tsunami in 2004. 5 years later and several billion dollars of spending, I think there. Most reports I hear are that things have begun to get better.
But Ed, in many of these places where recovery brings opportunity, as Lawrence was talking about, you need some kind of centralized, you know, in China after the government, you have a very centralized organization to get everything done. And in Haiti, the government isn't entirely stable or reliable.
Yeah, I hate to be the voice of doom, but I think all the factors coming together in Port-au-Prince are pretty awesome and pretty negative. I mean, you've got a government that is, at best, fairly non-existent, at worst, has a history of corruption. You've got an incredibly overcrowded city. This is a city with natural confines. It's got these very steep mountains on all sides, so it can't just naturally expand. It's designed for about 400,000 people, with 3 million people living there. And it's also, as we know, one of the poorest countries in the world. And you put all those things together, and I think, on top of that, I'd add, April comes the rains. By about June, you start the hurricane season. People are going to be desperate to get back indoors. And you put all these things together, and the recipe for people just building their own houses, just as they did before, out of breeze box and very thin cement, is going to be intense. And that's what happened last time, and we know what the results have been.
Lawrence, what do you think? Without a strong government to organize the recovery efforts, can they rebuild in a safe way?
This is pretty much a worst-case scenario, because as Ed is saying, some disasters have a great loss of property with relatively little loss of life. Some have great losses of life without completely devastated infrastructure. Some have both kinds of devastation but have strong political institutions that can direct recovery. And Haiti has none of that. It didn't have that before the disaster struck. So this is a huge challenge. One can only hope that more parts will be rebuilt with reliable access to clean water and sanitation systems than existed before the earthquake. And one can hope that there'll be more awareness of the dangers of building with unreinforced concrete. But the overwhelming needs of so many people who have been living with an informal economy and in an informal housing structure are beyond what anybody can direct.
Ed, what is the chances that we are in the midst of a recipe for repetition of disaster in Haiti?
I'd say extremely high. People are going to be piling back into the city. They've got about 4 months at most before hurricanes start hitting. And they're just going to be doing their own thing. They're used to working without any help, and that's what they're going to do again.
So it's more like Lagos in Port-au-Prince than some sort of futuristic, reimagined Haiti.
Yes.
That's a scary takeaway. Yeah.
Yes, or Nicaragua, where Somoza stole all the money.
Yeah. Ed Pilkington is the New York correspondent for The Guardian. He just returned on Friday from a week spent in Haiti. And Lawrence Vail is the professor of urban design and planning at MIT. He's also co-editor of the book, The Resilient City, How Modern Cities Recover from Disaster. Thanks to both of you.